And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight we are blessed with Shakti Karola Navran, who wrote a book that's called Jewelry and Gems for Self-Discovery. And I read this book and I found it very interesting. And I think you will enjoy the evening because we're going to talk about how gemstones and jewelry and astrology all sort of fit together. So welcome, Shakti.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
Okay, so why don't we first start off with your personal journey, how you got to where you are right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you can tell, I am not true American. Mm-hmm. I'm from Europe, actually from Germany. So I went through this whole apprenticing and becoming a master jeweler, and then I studied art and jewelry. So I had a long journey myself to come to the present place where I am, and the book is kind of the result of my personal journey. So when I was studying, my search was for finding a deeper meaning with the jewelry. I mean, it wasn't just enough for me to create something beautiful or artsy or making it special by talking about it. I wanted something which has some deeper meaning. So one line of research I did was around symbols and sacred geometry and how to design a piece so it's really beautiful and balanced and has a specific impact. And the other line was that I was very fascinated by the gemstones. And I started out with crystals and tourmaline crystals and, I mean, all these beautiful gemstones. So then I had a kind of very enlightening experience with the rubellite, where I suddenly could feel this energy of that stone just by meditating with it.
Wow.
And that kind of really opened the door for me into the healing world of gemstones. And then I got really interested and fascinated.
And was there any particular event in your life that sort of brought you into this area, or was it just your fascination with the beauty of the stones and the work?
Yeah, I mean, it all started from that experience. Because, I mean, I'm Taurus. I'm a very practical-oriented person, and I love beautiful things. So after that experience with this rubellite, it was like, wow, there's so much more than this outer level. There's so much more to the outer beauty. So, I mean, the rubellite is a stone of self-love.
Mm.
So it's a stone for the heart, and it opens the heart and nourishes you with this sweetness, this joy de vivre. And for me, it was just amazing to have this very impactful experience and then later read about it that this is what the stone does. So it's really this loving experience. So,
and what
it was kind of a crucial point for me in my own journey.
Right. And what brought you into astrology? Because that's a big science on its own. It's a huge...
Yeah, but astrology is a system of symbols. So for me, it made total sense to try to bring both together. I mean, astrology is an old, ancient science. And what we do in astrology, we use the symbols, the planetary symbols for universal principles and see how they play out on the level of a human being. But we could also look at the level of how will this marriage work out or any kind of contract. You can make a chart, a horoscope for the beginning of that legal connection. So there are different ways to use the science of astrology, but the most known way is to make a personal chart and then see how these universal principles play out for a human being.
And so you usually, before you do any of the jewelry, or at least a custom jewelry, you would do someone's chart first.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of known for that in Germany. Yeah. I had people coming to me from all over Germany. I had a beautiful little gallery in the middle of the city, and so I had people coming by and just liking the jewelry I do, but I had many people come specific for what I had to offer. So what I did, I would do an astrological reading with them, mm-hmm. kind of 1.5 hour thing. Hmm. And then at the end, I would point out which stone would support which area in their chart. And then I would show them the stones. Like, for example, if ruby is one of your main healing stones, mm-hmm. then there are so many different rubies. So they have kind of, each stone has also their own personality. This has probably to do where they're coming from, which area in the world, which mine they're found, about, has to do with the chemical composition, if it's a round cut or an oval. Or so there are many aspects adding to the specific personality of one specific stone. So I would show my customer then their stones. And in general, we would say that each one of us has 12 main healing stones. So after the astrology counseling, we would kind of know which were the most important subjects for that person. Mm-hmm. So then we would start with those stones first, which are the most important right now in the moment where you are. Hmm. And then I would show them the stones, and then usually you kind of have a good feeling about which is the stone you feel attracted to, because it's the one you feel, it's the most beautiful stone. And so sometimes if somebody is a Libra and they can't decide between two stones, then there's also the possibility that you can test it, how the energy of a tiny little stone is impacting your whole energy field. So you know the kinesiology, the arm test?
Yes, yes.
So you can basically hold this little stone in your energy field and test for it. And if your muscles test strong, this stone is supporting your energy field. If you test weak, it's not the right stone for you.
Right.
So that's sometimes a technique I use to give a person an experience on their own. So, because otherwise, sometimes it's hard to imagine that this tiny little 3 or 4 millimeter ruby stone will really make a difference.
That's true.
But when you see that stone in that size, which doesn't fit into your energetic pattern, is weakening you, then it's kind of, aha.
Yeah.
So I kind of like this thing. I mean, I'm a Taurus, so I like these practical applications. So then when they have chosen their stone, what I would do is, if they want, then we would do the design. So we would see what they like, if they need something very balancing and visually appealing that way. Or sometimes people, if they have a strong Uranus or Aquarius, like you, then sometimes people like to be a little more outrageous with the designs. It has to be a little something extra to the side, so it doesn't have to be so balanced. So
right.
It's a very individual process to really create, I call it a jewelry for the soul, which you end up with at the end of that process. And because I have done it for so many years, I mean, for 32 years now. So then I thought a book would really kind of help people to do the process themselves if they don't want to come here and go through the process with me. So I just wanted to make that knowledge available. And I know it hasn't been out in that combination of astrology, jewelry, and healing gems. So, and that idea to write a book was actually also started in Germany.
Oh.
Believe it or not, one day I get a call, and there is this publisher, spiritual publisher at the end of the line, asking me, he had heard about my work, and if I'm interested to write a book about jewelry and healing gems and astrology.
Right.
And I said, well, yeah, it sounds interesting, but I never got to it. I was just so busy with, I mean, I had 5 people working for me and I had a big gallery to run. So it just didn't happen at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But the seed was planted. Mm-hmm. So from then on, I always had kind of a feeling. At one point, I might sit down and actually write it down. So that's what I did then 3 years ago.
Hmm. So after you moved to beautiful Hawaii?
Huh? In Hawaii?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm living on Maui.
Nice.
With my American husband. And
which is part of your journey as well. Which is part of your journey as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was visiting here 14 years ago, and actually I took a year off to write that book. And then I, after 3 days being on the island, I ran into my husband, my now husband, and I got stuck in paradise. I'm still here.
Well, it could be much
and
worse.
I didn't write the book at that point in time, so it had to wait a little, because when I decided to stay here and we got married, I had to create a new life and establish my business again. So it was a whole really new start in a whole new way.
Yeah, so you talk a lot in your book about astrology and saying that that's the language of the soul, and it's really where you start out on this journey. But you talk about the chakras and how, I guess, a lot of the gems connect with the chakras. And the
Actually, the chakra system is a real good tool, because most people know a little bit about chakras. I mean, through yoga, it has become so well known in the West. So most systems work with the main seven chakras along the middle line of the body. And each chakra is kind of connected with different step of evolution. That's how you can look at it. So each chakra has to do with different themes in our life. Like, for example, the first chakra is about survival and me. So it's really about finding your individuality in a way. And then you go up through all these different steps of growth. And then the seventh chakra, it's your connection to the divine. So it goes from me up to oneness consciousness. So, and wherever we have blockages in the chakras, which are kind of transformators for our subtle energy system. So whenever there are blockages, we have trouble in specific areas. And so I'm describing that kind of in depth in my book. And the chakra system, if you know a little bit about it and you know the colors each chakra is relating to, then whenever you look at a stone, you already have kind of an idea what that stone might do for you.
Right.
Like, for example, the first chakra, survival, individuality, the first chakra would be the color red and black. So whenever you see a stone which is red or black, you have an idea what it might do for you. You don't have many specifics yet, but you kind of have an idea.
Right.
So, and so it's the same way with all the other chakras.
Right.
Like, for example, if you have broken up with your boyfriend or have been divorced, it's usually a very painful time for the heart, and some people really have a pressure in their heart, like a really physical sensation there. So that might be a good time to either have a piece of jewelry, like a pendant, like a ruby or rubellite or a rose quartz, a nice stone for the heart, which you can really wear there.
Okay.
Or if you don't have a piece of jewelry and you don't want to go that far, you can just buy a little piece of rose quartz and just whenever you go to bed at night, you put this little piece of rose quartz on your heart. And the rose quartz is actually very, very sweet energy. It's really self-love. It's healing, nourishing. It's this very sweet, light energy. And just putting that on your heart will help you to find that place of inner healing. The rose quartz is also a stone which you can actually use for little children. If they're fussy at night or they don't sleep well, then you could take a little piece of rose quartz and put it under their mattress, and it will quieten their sleep.
Really?
Is that cool?
That is very cool.
A fussy baby with the rose quartz under the mattress. I wouldn't do much with other stones because babies and little children are very sensitive and very open for gemstone energies. So other stones might be too strong.
Right.
But the rose quartz energy, we had really, really nice feedback from mothers who did that. It's just such a very sweet, gentle energy. So that's another way of playing around with gemstones, that mm-hmm. you lay on your back and put stones onto you, on your body. So, I mean, you can either do it according to the chakra colors, or you can just go with your own intuition and put some stones on and see how it feels.
Right.
So that can be very regenerating and refreshing. And, it's a nice way to really experience the energies of the stones yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There are actually many people who do healing sessions just with that. So most of them work kind of intuitively, like they have a person
sure.
laying down in front of them and tune in to their auras and see where the blockages is, or feel where the blockages are. And then they would put stones there. And usually after a session like that, you feel like newborn.
Mm-hmm.
Because it balances your system out. And I mean, my approach, because again, I'm a practical Taurus and I'm a jeweler, so I thought, well, wouldn't it be much more effective to have the main healing stones and really wear them to make those stones into your jewelry pieces?
Right.
Not just any stone you are attracted to in the moment. I mean, if you have a lot of money, you can do that as well. But I always thought it makes sense to start with your jewelry collection with the stones which are really connected with your main scenes in your life,
right.
which are coming up over and over, and you want to balance your system. And when you have a look in your horoscope, then you can really see what the scenes are, and you can get very, very specific.
Right.
So I always have a lot of fun doing this kind of work. Very creative, and it's really a process between me and the person I'm working with.
Right.
So you're really very involved in the creation of your power piece of jewelry.
Right. So would the chakras also get involved then with the planets and astrology, or are they two separate things? Would you do something different with the chakras?
In a way, they're two different things.
Right, that's what I thought.
So I personally like to go through the chart because I'm very good at reading it. And then it gets very specific.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, if we find out the ruby is an important stone for you, then you can say, okay, the ruby is a stone for the first chakra and the heart chakra.
Right.
And so you can see how does it fit in the chakra system.
Okay. Okay.
But in a way, looking into the chart for choosing a stone is much, much more specific.
Right.
The chakra system is more something, it's good to know about the colors. So if you just happen to look at a stone, you have an idea what it will do for you. It's
right.
more like a general guideline.
Okay. And there's an alchemy that you go through to create all of this, but it's... You know, it's everything. You're really, you're not just using the charts. You're using your intuition, and you're connecting in with the person. And
I mean, jewelry has such a specific place in our human evolution. I mean, even in the Stone Age, they had keys or stones that would hang around their neck. I mean, there was always this... looking to enhance our own self.
Mm-hmm.
So I think jewelry is really an expression of our inner experience of beauty.
Right.
It always had to do with empowerment. So when even so-called normal people going to a normal jewelry store, I mean, what is their motivation? They want to pick something which makes them more beautiful, which makes a specific statement that they have money or taste. Or, if you wear a piece of jewelry, especially if it's not just some cheap stuff, so if you really pay a significant amount of money for it, it needs to convey a message.
Sure.
And for me, I always thought it's so much more satisfying to add the level of meaningful healing jewelry to it. I mean, I for sure wanted to be beautiful. That's why the design part in contact with the customer is very important.
Right.
But I just like if the other pieces are there too.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be there. I mean, if somebody goes into a jewelry store and has this deep, profound connection with a piece of jewelry, goes home and they dream about the piece and they come back next day and buy it, at least something what happens quite, you might not know that, but I had often people coming back because they had a dream about the stone or the piece
nice.
Of jewelry.
Nice.
So if you have an experience like that, you can always assume that you have one of your main healing stones you feel attracted there to. And I often have the experience if I do this free mini gemstone readings. And if you go to my website, jewelryandgemsforselfdiscovery.com, so you can sign up for the newsletter, and then I personally look into a chart and give you one of your main healing stones.
Nice.
So one of my experiences with doing that with so many people is that often they'll write back and say, well, that's one of my favorite stones, and I got out my ring with the carnelian again. And so people do know what they like and what they're in resonance with.
Right.
So that's kind of always a nice feedback for me to hear that.
And so while you do this work and while you're connecting in and you're picking out through their astrology, the charts, and we're looking at the planets and the colors of the planets, and you're figuring it out and you're looking at different symbols. And I mean, this can assist someone to really work through and become, you know, their fullest potential, but it can help them work through difficult situations that they're having at the time. Plus it can assist them to just,
I mean, that's the whole thing. If we look into the chart of somebody, we see where the challenges are. And these are the areas I go in with the right stone. Because, I mean, where the energy is flowing harmoniously, that's fine. But we want to support ourselves where the trouble is, where we always feel challenged. So, I mean, the 12 main healing gemstones are related to the 10 planets and the rising and the Chiron.
Right.
So these bring up the 12 planets and however they are connected with each other, on which sign and house they are. But usually there are 3, 4, which you could say these are the most important stones for that person because they're touching exactly into the challenges, the frictions. And in astrological terms, that would be where there is a square or a conjunction or an opposition. So these are kind of the more challenging aspects between the planets.
Did you notice my chart?
The planets are representing inner aspects of our personality.
Yes.
So I always like to look at the planets as actors, actors in our lives.
Yes.
So like for example, Moon is the mothering principle, the mother, but also the child.
Right.
So Venus is the second feminine principle, the goddess of love and harmony and beauty. So if you kind of have this characterization of the planet, it kind of makes more sense because we all have a Moon and a Venus and a Mars and all these different aspects in us.
Right. Right.
So it just makes it easier understandable.
Yeah. So what?
In olden times, people would experience the planets as gods and goddesses, like Venus, the goddess of love and harmony and beauty. And in a way, it makes a lot of sense to do that because it's actually representing a universal law or principle. So to make that into a god works for me. It's part of the divine game plan.
Right.
It's a universal principle, like gravity is, on a different level.
Right. So we have the chakras in their colors, and we have the planets, and they all have colors. Do you want to talk about those a little bit, or the main ones, or I guess it depends.
Yeah,
each person's chart.
We could go through the chakras because that gives a general orientation for people. What the chakra colors are, or do you want to go through the planets?
Either one. I think the planets probably, I think, you know, people need to get your book. But
because we're talking so much about astrology today.
Right.
Okay, so let's start with the sun. The sun represents our self-awareness, our sense of who we are, our identity. So, and also the sun is the center of the source of all life on our planet. Without sun, there would be no life. So the sun is a very important planetary principle here.
Right.
So the colors, you can guess, it's yellow, orange, gold. Mm-hmm. So that kind of color spectrum. So whenever you would have a stone in that color range, you would kind of support your own vitality.
Right.
Your own self-consciousness, your own identity.
Now,
so it can work on all these different levels.
When it relates then to in your chart, so for me in Aquarius, would it also have the same colors?
No. Then we have to look in which sign is the sun.
Right.
So if the sun is, like in your case, an Aquarius, it needs a very different stone, like then you would look for Aquarius. And a stone which has Aquarius and sun energy in it.
Okay.
So, for example, but I wanted to come to that later, a good stone for you for the sun and Aquarius would be aquamarine.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have a connection to that stone?
I certainly have in the past. I certainly have, because it's very much a stone when you go to the Caribbean, it's very available. So I have definitely picked it up in the past.
Yeah. Okay, we can come back to your stone.
Sure.
But let's say in which sign the sun is kind of coloring which stone is appropriate.
Right.
So, and the same happens with all the other planets. So let's just go through it.
Sure.
Moon,
mm-hmm.
Is the feminine principle, mother, life-giving. It also represents our unconscious mind, our intuition.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the world of feelings, you can say. So the gemstone colors of the moon would be all this white, light bluish, pearly, silvery, iridescent kind of hues. So, I mean, we all know the moonstone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect representation of moon energy.
Mm-hmm.
It has this kind of milky, bluish, kind of moving kind of energy. Mm-hmm. So, any question to the moon?
No, I mean, I think, you know, the moon.
Okay, then I just make my way through.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, so the Mercury. Mercury is the representative for our intellect, our mind. It's how we think, how we perceive the world mentally. So Mercury is kind of always is kind of the butterfly. Very interested in different things all the time. So that's why Mercury is associated with multicolors, like a stone where many colors are occurring together. And that would be, for example, the case in opals. Remember opals, how they have all these different colors kind of moving and melting together? So that would be a Mercury quality. But also brown is said to be a color for Mercury. I personally don't have such a connection to that, but I just mention it to keep it complete here. So many colors together, I would say that's Mercury.
Right.
Venus, the goddess of love, beauty, and harmony. Venus obviously has a lot to do with our heart, and so pink and green would be the color and for Venus. But also yellow has a connection to Venus. So Mars, the and conqueror. Mars represents the male energy, our sexual energy. So Mars is red, the color red. So So wherever Mars is situated in our chart, our life energy or our life force, how we do things, has to be expressed through that filter of in which sign or house the Mars is.
Right.
Then we have Jupiter. Jupiter, the principle of expansion. Jupiter loves to look at the big picture, is interested in values, and has a deep ethical sense. So Jupiter's gemstones are green, blue, and blue-purplish.
Mm-hmm.
So chakra-wise, blue and blue-purple would be the fifth and sixth chakra, the throat chakra and the third eye.
Okay.
So you can see how it overlaps.
Yeah.
Jupiter is the searcher for deep meaning in life and for the truth. And the fifth chakra, we express our own personal truth. When we move into the sixth chakra, it's about connecting with a deeper level of truth, connecting with a more objective level of wisdom and knowledge. So you can see how there are cross connections here between mm-hmm. the planets
yeah.
and the chakras.
The chakras, yeah.
Well, then we have Saturn. Saturn, the principle of limitation and structure and concentration and crystallization and time and old age. So Saturn used to be not very favorable looked at in astrology, because usually where Saturn is standing in our chart, we feel challenged, we have to put awareness and work into, and we don't like that so much.
No, so, we don't.
actually, there has been a good astrologer, Liz Green, who has written a whole book about Saturn, and she brought in a more enlightening perspective about how Saturn really is a teacher who helps us to bring awareness and consciousness
right.
into our life, into specific areas. So I like that approach much better.
Hmm.
I mean, that's my whole approach to astrology and how I use astrology. I want to find out how the universal principles are playing out for me, what
right.
the time qualities are, to use it to my advantage, to flow, go with the flow. I mean, I'm living in Hawaii. I mean, have you struggled trying to go against a wave when it breaks? Forget it. So you want to go with the flow. You want to surf the wave.
That's right.
So that's how I imagine astrology is well used. You go with the flow. And the more you know about the universal principles of the moment, then you can align yourself and really use it to your advantage.
Hmm.
I mean, that's my whole approach with my blog. Have I told you about my blog?
No.
It's called The Astrological Sign Weather Report and Healing Gems.
Nice.
So here I'm really giving all this information about what's the quality of the moment, of this present moment. And then we can use that to advance with whatever our projects are.
Right.
So anyway, back to Saturn. So the colors of Saturn would be gray and black.
Mm.
So it has kind of this really focused, concentrated kind of aspect. So black is kind of the culmination of all colors.
Right.
So on the chakra level, it would be the ground, the first chakra.
Right, the root.
Just to make that link there again. Okay, then we have Uranus. Uranus, I like Uranus. You must do too, huh?
You do.
Huh?
I do, yes.
Uh-huh. Uranus is a rebel. Uranus is the role model. Uranus always is ahead. Uranus sets standards. So I like Uranian people. I have my moon in Uranus, so I kind of have a connection there. But I always like people who are different, who have the strength to step out. And actually, these are people who are very impactful for our society as a whole.
Right.
Because, if enough people try out something new, it becomes commonplace, and then other people can do it too.
Right.
That's the reason why the Aquarius people have a real good connection to computers and technical aspects. I don't know how strong that is for you, but the Uranus or Uranian people usually have this scientific kind of mind and interest. So they're always on the cutting edge in a way. That can be more technically oriented, so they can be real inventors or computer wizards or somebody like that. Or it can be more on an inner level. It can be an author sitting at home and writing really outrageous books, setting the standard that way.
Right.
So usually the Uranus is somebody who steps up and shows up in life. So that's a really nice quality. But again, it's when you have a strong Uranian quality, you can't sit back on your butt and not do anything. It's a very fast energy stream flowing in your life. So you need to work it. You need to let it flow instead of putting the brakes on, because
right.
then you're in trouble.
Right.
So all the outer planets are challenging if you don't go with the flow, more than the inner planets. So the colors of Uranus would be sky blue or ocean blue and turquoise.
Hmm.
So all stones in that color range would be stones for you with your sun and Aquarius.
Okay.
But then when we look in your chart, you see that whatever other aspects we add in might change that.
Right.
Any questions so far, or does it make sense?
Oh, no, it makes sense to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Neptune. Neptune is the ruler of Pisces. Neptune is representing the unconditional love. It's our connection to the divine. It's our longing for God. And the colors of Neptune would be mauve and purple or violet colors. So like amethyst would be, for example, a stone. Very
right.
Neptunian stone.
Okay.
So like the amethyst would be a wonderful stone if you want to have an experience with meditation, like you lay down and put a amethyst crystal on your third eye.
Mm.
And I bet you have an experience. It's like, because it's a Neptunian stone, so it kind of helps you with this inner connection to the divine. So it helps you to quieten your thoughts. It helps you to find this deep, deep inner connection.
Nice.
Actually, I used to have a big amethyst druzy in my gallery. I had it.
Oh, yeah.
And when people weren't so sure, I mean, here was this crazy person having a gallery but working with the healing quality of gemstones and talking about it if somebody wanted to hear it. So, but people who were not open to it or just didn't have any experience with it, I would say, well, hold your hand into that druzy and tell me what you feel. And because it was a big stone and amethyst is a strong stone, I mean, almost everybody feels something.
Yeah.
Like a little, almost like an ultrasonic when you have a druzy, like you do feel a significant energetic change in your hand, like start bizzling. And so that was my way to get my point across very fast and easy because I don't like to argue for things. I offer my opinion, but then it's up to you and
right.
if you want to take it or not.
Right.
I mean, it's the same way how I approach astrology. I always tell my clients when we sit down before we go into the reading that they just should be aware of where they resonate with what I'm saying. Like I'm just this mirror for mirroring things back, and they're the one who decide what is really important for them.
Right.
So it can be that I'm saying something and they have this instant inner recognition of, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, this is, I know that, oh yeah. So it can be either that, or it can be just the opposite, that you're totally in rejection. No, I'm not like that. No way, that's not true. How can you read that? So that's always interesting to see where you're in resistance, where do you struggle. So obviously you're not open to hear that, but if you're able to hold that attention and feel what it brings up for you, it's beneficial.
Right.
Definitely beneficial. That's why when you have an astrology reading, you can listen to it years later. And if it's a good reading, it still gives you value. It still gives you something to think about. Because after years, you are in a different place where you may hear the reading in a new and different way.
Right.
So, okay, back to our planets. Pluto, the last outer planet. Pluto is one of the bad guys. Because he makes us work. He makes us die and transform into something new. And that's definitely not something we like as a process. I mean, I think in general we humans are holding on to things. We like the status quo. And even if the status quo is not a good one, at least we know it. So we feel kind of comfortable in that. So the new and the unexplored often is or can be more challenging than the bad present. So we all know when we drag our feet and we don't go with an easy step into new experiences.
Right.
So Pluto is the planet of total transformation.
Right.
And wherever the planet is in our chart and which other planets, which are personal parts of us, are touched by Pluto, have to go through a profound change in the course of our life.
Right.
So Pluto is definitely a very important point in our chart, and it's definitely something where you would want to have a stone which helps you to minimize the so-called negative effects of Pluto.
Right.
And the neat thing with gemstones I've discovered over the years is not only that they do something on a level of frequency, so whenever you bring them into your energy field, of course they impact and do something to that, but the other really elegant thing is that when you go through reading and you have that understanding, then there will always be kind of an inner connection, unconscious connection with that presence of the moment or that awareness or that consciousness. So for example, again, the ruby, if you know the ruby is a stone of unconditional love and self-expression, and it's a stone for your heart. So even if you, whenever you look at your ruby pendant, you're not always thinking about that, but still it's kind of an unconsciously set anchor for you.
Right.
So it will always kind of do that for you. So that's kind of a second level of influence of the stones.
Right.
That's why I always like to go through this reading before I create a piece of jewelry. Because then you have this inner connection. And it's just a very elegant way to use your stone or later your jewelry as an anchor for a specific state of consciousness you want to achieve.
Right.
So, well, maybe we should go to your chart now, have a look.
Did you want to talk about the true node in Chiron first, or is that...
About Chiron and what was the other?
The true node or the... They're different than the ascendant, isn't it?
Yeah. The Chiron is the wounded healer. So wherever we have a Chiron in the chart and whatever the connection with other parts of us are, we often experience wound, a hurt in our childhood. And especially as children, we don't have so many ways to deal with something consciously. So often we don't have a choice how to live it. So Chiron usually represents problems and challenges.
Right.
And throughout our life, it turns into this area where we can become not only our own healer, but where we can become that healer or teacher or helping hand for somebody else.
Right. And the North Node?
And the North Node is has to do with the concept of karma.
Right.
So the North Node is not really a planet.
Right.
It's kind of a mathematical point in the chart.
Okay.
And it represents where we need to go this lifetime.
Okay.
So the South Node opposite is where we're coming from,
yes,
karmically speaking, and the North Node is where we're moving towards. So usually the North Node is an area where we, at least the first half of our life, are not very much in connection with, and we actually don't want to go there. Because it's very opposite where we're coming from. So, but the older and more mature we get, I would say the North Node is really representing where we want to become deeper.
Right.
We want to share ourselves from that point.
Right. And then you also bring in the elements.
Yeah. Elements is kind of a very basic way to look at a chart. I always start out with looking at the elements.
Mm-hmm.
We have fire, air, earth, and water. And if somebody has a lot of water, then that will show and how they live out their chart. So it gives us kind of a general idea how the energetic self-expression of a person is.
Right.
And usually you can say whenever we feel stressed out, we go to the energy where we have most planets in.
Right. Yeah, that would make sense for me.
Like for you, it would be air.
Right.
You have like 18 points in air, and you have 28.
Right.
28 points in air, and 19.
I have 23.
16 points in water.
I have 23.
These are your main energies.
Okay.
Air and then water. So air is a very neutral energy. Air is between things. Air is very flexible, movable. So air people are processing the world through their mental activities, through their mind. So usually they are good communicators. If they get stressed out, they want to talk about it.
Hmm.
You know that?
Yeah, that's
if somebody
me.
Has a lot of earth, like I do, if I get stressed out, I sit in my sofa.
Really?
With a good book.
Okay.
If a fire person gets stressed out, they go out jogging.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
They do something. They need to move their body.
Hmm.
So it kind of gives us an idea how we process. And water is kind of how we are emotionally filtering the world.
Sure.
So water is very easily impacted emotionally. So, I mean, you know a little bit about that because you have Cancer rising,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is a very watery sign.
Mm-hmm.
So, lots of water just means you're very easily emotionally impacted. So it's kind of the ocean, coming and going of the tides and feelings. So that's something which might not always be so easy to do.
Right.
Like when a water person gets stressed out, they start crying very easily.
Yeah.
So they can't really... they shouldn't hold back their emotions. It's a very healthy thing to just be aware of the feelings and just feel the feelings which are there. That's actually the key to handling lots of water.
Right. And so the jewelry...
Allow yourself to fear what is there to fear. And it will turn into joy.
Right.
To really allow ourselves to feel something.
Right.
It always turns into joy.
And so you, would your jewelry then be to balance out the areas that are either too much or too little in someone's chart?
Exactly. Yeah. So I used to look at the energies just as an entry point to explain a little bit about the dynamics.
Right.
So for you, the main element is air. So here you are, a radio show person. It's perfect. But the second element is water. So you're interested in everything what has to do with the psyche, and with our inner feelings, our inner dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say you do both.
Yeah.
What you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can already look at that just through the elements. But then when you want to get more specific, you look into the whole chart. Like for you, you have Cancer rising.
Right.
So there is a lot of emotions there, a lot of creativity there because of that. Cancer, I mean, the life came out of the ocean. Cancer is the ocean sign. So I have met many people who had a strong Cancer. They would be artists or very creative in the area they're working.
Right.
So here you have this very creative emotional potential. And then you have the Sun and the Mars and the Saturn in Aquarius on the other side of your chart.
Yes.
And Aquarius is air. So Aquarius is kind of more cool. It's not the very emotional side because they process everything mentally. So here you have already these two very different parts in you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's definitely something I would address with a stone.
Okay.
So for you, if you want to help yourself and balance yourself in a good way with your Cancer part, Moonstone would be a perfect stone.
Okay.
Like, I mean, Moonstones are not expensive stones.
No.
They have this bigger kind of labradorite moonstones. You can actually get really like a big chunk. You can hold it in your hand and you can put it under your pillow. I mean, moonstone is a beautiful stone.
Yeah.
Or if you want to balance more into the fast energy of the Aquarius, then that could be the aquamarine we were talking about.
Okay.
So Sun in Aquarius would be aquamarine. It's a feminine stone.
Okay.
But it has this this coolness of the Aquarian. There's a specific neutrality. Is that how you say it? Neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
To the Aquarian energy. So I think aquamarine is kind of connected with that.
Okay.
But when I looked at your chart, there were some other stones which were jumping out at me.
Okay.
So first of all, I look into where are the hard aspects, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here I see you have Uranus, Pluto, in opposition, both in opposition to your Venus and both squaring your Moon.
Oh.
It means that both your feminine principles get a lot of grief here from Pluto and Uranus.
Mm.
So the outer planets, and then you have a Neptune square to Saturn, Mars, and Sun.
Right.
So the outer planets play a very big role in your chart. And the stone for the outer planets is ochre.
Okay.
Then it depends on the color. So for you... because you have this strong Uranus energy, I would say the blue opals would be the most favorable. Like they have this kind of light, strong, electric kind of blue.
Okay.
Like ocean blue.
Okay.
Which looks fabulously set in gold. But also you have these opals with a very dark, deep blue. which has more the Pluto energy. So if I would be you, I would go to somebody and have a look at different opals, or go online and look at opals.
Okay.
And each opal is different. It's so obvious that each stone has its own personality.
Right.
So opals, I would say, are fantastic stones for you. And so let's say you would pick an opal, which is in the blue range, either the lighter blue, which would be more Uranus, or the darker, which would be more Pluto.
Okay.
And that would go into this red triangle, squaring your moon, square Venus opposition, this Uranus-Pluto conjunction there.
Okay.
So it would help you to find a different way of expressing those energies. Like moon is expressing your mothering qualities. Would also help to balance your own emotions in a different way. And your sense of beauty and harmony and how you relate. So the whole relationship area is where we look at Venus. So all opals in that color range would kind of help you with that.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever had
an opal?
Opals?
You know, when I was quite a bit younger, I remember getting an opal, but it was a white one more.
Oh, they're boring.
Yeah.
The white ones are, that's my opinion here.
Mm-hmm.
The white ones are actually very Neptune and moon quality.
Mm-hmm.
But you need the strong colors with your
own. I didn't even know they came in strong colors, so there you go.
Can you talk a little louder?
I just said I didn't even know that they came in those colors, so.
Yeah, you definitely want to go somewhere and have a look, because opal is, I would say, one of the main stones for you.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then your Neptune square to Sun, Mars, and Saturn. Neptune is also one of the outer planets.
Right.
And here I would suggest to go with a fire opal.
Mm.
Have you ever seen a fire opal?
I don't think I have, but I like the sounds of it.
Fire opal is this kind of orange-red stone, and then it has this red and green colors and flashes inside. It's a stone which, chakra-wise, belongs to the first three chakras.
Okay.
And it kind of helps to open any blockages we have energetically in our body. So, believe it or not, in Germany I did a lot of jewelry with fire opals and belly chains.
Mm.
I mean, that was a time when we had this belly dancing classes and did all that. I don't know if you'd ever did, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a time when I made belly chains with fire opals. So it would hang over the second chakra there.
Nice.
And it's just jewelry for yourself. Not to show off. It's really just for your own enjoyment and for the energy. So, fire opals are very powerful stones that way. They can really help you to get your energy running. So when you have sluggish energy or challenges in your energy, then fire opal is a really neat stone.
Right.
And for me, I have my Mars in Cancer.
Okay.
So that's not a very good position for your energy flow. So I have, all my life, I have struggled with having enough energy and drinking coffee and pushing myself. And so I was making jewelry with fire opals probably for 20 years extensively because I had a connection with that stuff.
Right.
So a lot of people would come to me who exactly needed that.
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Well, as it always works,
so,
I think.
So, fire opal would be the square connection with your Neptune there. Okay. One other stone. Have you ever heard about the Herkimer diamond?
You know, I have.
Uh-huh. It's a natural crystal. It's a double terminated rock crystal.
Okay.
And it grows in these little air pockets in some kind of rock and crystallizes out from a center seed crystal, and then it grows into both directions as far as it can go in the air pocket. So they're found in New York, state New York.
Okay.
And people just crack open the rocks and those shiny little double-terminated gems spring out. And the beautiful thing is they're called Herculean diamond because they're so clear and so sparkly, as if somebody has polished the facets like we do for a diamond.
Right.
So if you have a handful of Herculean diamonds, they sparkle and gleam like a handful of polished diamonds might do. That's how they got the name. But it's one of my favorite stones, and I've written about it in my book.
Right.
Because it does us a lot of good. Herculean diamond, because it's this double-terminated, totally crystal-clear gemstone, has an extremely balancing impact on us.
Mm.
So wherever there are polarities in our system, this yin-yang thing,
right,
then the Herculean will help. So if we have a strong Pluto in our chart, what I would say you have.
Okay.
Herculean diamond is a perfect stone, helping us to work out the polarities, the opposites we have to deal with. When we were talking about the Cancer rising and the sun in the opposite sign,
right,
on the other side of the chart, that polarity, again, would be helped by Herculean diamond.
Okay.
And teachers for healing with gemstones was a man named Marcel Foger, and he was actually an IBM scientist or something, because with his research, he started out with liquid crystals, so he had this patent for when you drive at the highway at night and the signs reflect.
Right.
It's kind of done with liquid crystals, so he did the research for that. Anyway, at some point, he stumbled into healing with crystals and started to do research with that, and he actually invented a machine where he could measure the specific frequencies on of stones and how they would impact somebody. And he has done some research with the Herculean diamond, so actually I found out first about it through him.
Hmm.
And his research showed that if you wear a Herculean diamond over your heart, where your thymus is in that area,
right,
then it kind of stabilizes your aura. Like all this electro smog we have to deal with. I mean,
right,
sitting in front of a computer for so many hours every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all this electro smog is everywhere, kind of.
Right.
So what the Herculean diamond does, when you wear it over your heart, it kind of balances your aura so it doesn't get as impacted from electro smog.
Huh.
Is that cool or what?
That is cool.
So if you sit a lot in front of your computer, you either have a crystal sitting there or you wear your Herculean diamond pendant, and you will feel different.
Okay.
Definitely.
Cool.
The other thing... what he was showing us was that the Herculean diamond even strengthened our auric field and our energy field towards negative thought forms.
Hmm.
Like, I don't know if you've done this muscle testing. Somebody thinks something nice about you and your arm is strong, and somebody sends you nasty thoughts and your arm drops. You're losing your strength.
Right.
The person who sends you the thoughts loses its strength too.
Sure.
But you are impacted. So imagine you're a doctor or a psychologist or healer, and you're always impacted by the people coming to you who are looking for help and who are sick and not doing well. And, I mean, no wonder our doctors have the highest suicide rate in the country. Because
yeah,
they not only have to deal with their own stuff and problems, also picking up energetically a lot from their patients.
Right.
So Herculean diamond is the stone for those people. Because
wonderful.
I mean, wherever you are, and you want to be more centered in your own heart and your own energy, then you want to wear a Herkimer diamond pendant.
Beautiful. Well, Shakti, we
are... Isn't that amazing what you can all do? I mean, I really love the gemstones.
It is.
Such a gift. It is. Really a gift of Mother Earth.
Well, Shakti, it's been a pleasure. I can't believe the time has gone by so quickly.
Yeah, it always does,
sure. Is there anything else you want to tell people?
Well, I would say if you feel inspired, get my book, Jewelry and Gems for Self-Discovery, or Jewelry and Gems for Self-Discovery.com/blog, because I'm going to do a lot of teaching and updating about astrology and gemstones, and it has been just a lot of fun doing that. So if you liked it, go and check it out.
Perfect. All right. Well, it's been a great pleasure, and I enjoyed this very much, and thank you for doing...
Me too, my dear.
Mm-hmm. All right. So take care.
Yes, you too. All right.
Bye-bye.